And my name is J.D. I go by my initials, J.D. Weido, W-E-I-D-O. And Weido used to be Guido. So my grandfather came from Sicily or Italy, and he was a shepherd boy there. So we Americanized it, amen. So might be part of the mafia or something like that, you know, I don't know. But anyway, I'm honored to be here. When I was a little boy, my daddy was a state trooper in Texas, and I'm just a little boy. This is like 1966 and just a little redheaded boy. And my mom and dad began to have problems in their marriage. And they had been through confirmation and catechism and all this stuff as kids growing up, but they were lost. I mean, they were lost without God and without hope. They did not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. And so because they were having problems in their marriage, they decided to get back in church. They were unchurched as adults, and they decided to get back in church or get in church, really. And so they went back to the churches they grew up in. They didn't find what they were looking for. And so we lived about maybe three blocks from an old-fashioned, fundamental, independent, Bible-believing Baptist church. And so anyway, they walked in the last Sunday in August 1966, okay? It was a large church. The church probably seated like 1,000 people, maybe like 800 on the bottom floor, 200 in the balcony, a giant baptistry platform and all that, you know. So there was a door back there and a door kind of toward the front, and mom and dad sat in the middle, and my dad leans over and tells my mom, you know, he says, if anybody messes with us, you know, we're out of here, you know. He said, I've heard about these Baptists, because they'd never been in a Baptist church. Well, I don't know what they'd heard, but anyway, the man of God took the Word of God that day and began to preach the Bible and preach the gospel. And I'm just a little redheaded six-year-old boy, and tears start running down my dad's cheeks, and I'd never seen my daddy cry. And my dad realized for the first time in his life that he was lost. And he realized that if he died like he wasn't going to heaven, that he was going to hell. And my dad, when the invitation was given at the close of the service, my dad looked at my mom and said, honey, I don't know about you, but this is what I need. And they bailed out, they stepped out, came down to the altar, and the preacher man stepped down off the platform and took his King James Bible and led my mom and daddy to Jesus Christ. And God gave me a new mama and a new daddy. And I'm telling you, our home forever changed. And therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And as a little boy, I was very shy, very timid, very clingy to my mother and, mama's boy and all that stuff. But my first grade Sunday school teacher, her name was Mrs. Griffin Jones. And Mrs. Jones and I, we had the same birthday. July 21st. You might want to write that down in your Bible. July 21st, okay? And so we had the same birthday. Well, wow, she just took me under her wing, and we just kind of hit it off. On my seventh birthday, she bought me a set of Mexican bullhorns. And wow, I must have been the proudest little boy in all of San Antonio, you know, and because I had my very own set. I put them on my dresser, you know, and I had my own set of Mexican bullhorns. And then on my eighth birthday, she bought me a Mexican bullwhip. It was black and white, and it was braided and everything, and I learned how to pop that thing. And my brother Bob was 5 years older than me, and I popped him and made him cry, and I got in trouble, and they had to put the whip up and all that stuff. But it was during those days as a little boy that every Sunday, Bible memory work, memory verses was very important, and it was emphasized a lot. I know y'all were memorizing the verse Mark 16:15. But as a little boy, every week they would give us a memory verse to take home. And my mama, I wasn't very smart, but my mama would help me memorize my Bible verse every Sunday, and it was a big deal. And I would have my offering envelope. And even as a little boy, I wanted to give something in every category. And I was a little Texan. They say you can always tell a Texan, you just can't tell him much, amen. And so I was a little Texan, and I had on a belt buckle that was big. Everything's big in Texas, and I had this big old belt buckle on, and I had my jeans on, and I rolled them up at the bottom, and I had them cowboy shirts with the snaps on it like my grandpa wear. How many of y'all remember those cowboy shirts? And, you know, you snapped them up and all that, and I had my King James Bible, and I had my offering envelope. Well, I might have put a quarter in, but Bless God, I gave a nickel in every category, amen. I gave to the building fund and to missions and to other and whatever we had going on, you know, my tithe and all that. But that was a big deal. And I appreciate you teaching your children about giving to missions when they're little, you know, because that's how I learned as a little boy, okay? And so as a little boy, with all my issues, I was a little bedwetter. Do we have any bedwetter? No, never mind. I'm real insecure and got all these issues, you know. But anyway, they said, my Sunday school teacher said, boys and girls, if you'll learn the books of the Bible, we're going to take you to San Antonio Zoo. And in the middle of the San Antonio Zoo, there's this place called Monkey Island. And, you know, I'm 6 years old and I'm thinking, wow, my mind was going crazy. I just wondered, I thought it'd be so cool to see all these monkeys on Monkey Island, you know. And so my mama helped me to be able to memorize the books of the Bible as a little boy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1st, 2nd Samuel, 1st, 2nd Kings, 1st, 2nd Chronicles, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentation, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi. And I know the New Testament too. I know the New Testament several different ways. Here's one of the ways I know the New Testament. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, Acts, Romans 2, Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1st and 2nd Thessalonians, 1st Timothy, 2nd Timothy, Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, James, 1st Peter, 2nd Peter, 3 John's, Jude, and Revelation. Amen. Amen. I learned this little pledge when I was a little boy. I promised God, helping me not to buy, drink, sell, or give alcoholic liquors while I live. From all tobacco, I'll abstain and never take God's name in vain. That's a good little pledge, isn't it? And I learned that little pledge. And it was during those days as a little boy, 6 and 7 years old, that I learned the apple song. And the apple song goes like this. If God gave you 10 apples... and said, return to me 1/10 of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one old core, would you give God that one old core and then ask Him for more? And then the chorus says, don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Do you know if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have any apples? Everything we have, God gave us. Oh, I might say my wife, and, you know, well, God gave me my wife. And I might say my children, but God gave me my children. I have 13 grandchildren. I might say my grandchildren, but God gave me my... I have 2 great-grandchildren. Y'all didn't know I was great, did you? Pastor forgot to tell you that. I've got 2 great-grandchildren, and I thank God for my family, but God gave me my family, and God gave me my house, and God gave me my truck, and everything I have, God gave me. He owns the cattle on 1,000 hills, and He owns the taters under the hills. The silver is mine. He owns it all, doesn't He? And you know what an insult to say, all right, God, here's your offering. I'm going to give you my leftovers. Now give me some more apples. No, the little song's to the tune of Bringing in the Sheep. So it goes like this. I learned it when I'm 6 years old. I just turned 65. That was a long time ago. But it goes like this. If God gave you 10 apples and said, return to me 1/10 of these 10 apples to show you honor me. If you ate all the apples and left but one old core, would you give God that one old core and then ask Him for more? Shake your head no. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Don't give God the core. Show Him that you love Him. Don't give God the core. That's a good one, isn't it? Yeah, that's a great way. That's how I learned about tithing. Okay? I say a lot of Baptist folks got what we call sclerosis of the giver. Yeah. Yeah, amen. Wow, I read a statistic the other day, Pastor, and it said that like maybe like 75% of the people don't tithe. And I thought, whoa, that was really disheartening. I thought, wow, you know, the tithe is the Lord's. And the Bible says, well, a man robbed God, and then he answers the question, wherein have you robbed me? You know, in tithes and offerings is what the Lord said. And I heard old Dr. J.C. House say, he said, man, if a man would rob God, you better lock your chickens up because he'll steal your chickens. Amen. And if a man would rob God, you better keep an eye on your wife because he's liable to steal your wife from you. Yeah, that's pretty serious business to rob from God, isn't it? No, I want to be obedient to the Lord. Amen. And the tithe is the Lord's. Okay, so we're in a missions conference this week. And I got on the plane yesterday morning, and it was kind of a travel day, or yesterday afternoon. And I left Little Rock, and I flew to Denver. And then I had a layover in Denver. And then got on the airplane, flew from Denver to Casper. And then preacher met me there at Casper and picked me up. And we got in after midnight last night. So that was a late night for me. So it was 1 o'clock, 1 something in Arkansas where I was coming from. So it's past my bedtime. Amen. The chickens were already on the roost. And when I got here last night, and then we're driving over, and Pastor saved my life last night. The antelope was just walking right out in front of us, and a big old truck's coming down the road, and he couldn't swerve. And I thought the Lord was going to call that antelope home, but somehow or another, I don't know how we didn't hit that antelope, you know, and he was just moseying across the road, you know, and Pastor slammed on the brakes, and I was grabbing that thing and holding on, and I was like, oh, thank you, Jesus. Amen. That woke me up, though. Amen. I didn't go to sleep the rest of the trip. But we're real glad to be here tonight. Now listen to me. I didn't get in my car and drive 2 hours from El Dorado, Arkansas to Little Rock to get on the airplane, to drive out here, to waste y'all's time and waste my time. I love y'all. And preacher knows that I love people and I love the Lord. And I'm glad I'm not going to hell no more. And I'm not here to beat you over the head with the Bible, but I'm here to be a help and a blessing to you. And so tonight, I'm going to kind of come after you a little bit, and then tomorrow night and Friday night, I'm going to kind of pull it all together with what we're talking about being in a missions conference, okay? My wife, Deanna, and I, we've been married 45 years, and she's a blessing. Y'all would all love her. She's a hugger, and you would love my wife. She's a great lady, but Deanna and I, we pray, and we ask the Lord, Lord, what do you want us to do above our tithe? You know, to help reach the world that Jesus Christ died for. And the tithe is used to take care of everything around the church. But the Bible says go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I always say this, every creature needs a preacher. How many of y'all know some creatures? Amen. And yeah, they need a preacher. Amen. They need the gospel. But I'm glad you're here tonight. Take your Bibles, if you would please, and turn to Luke chapter number 2. Luke chapter number 2. Now, when I think about Luke chapter number 2, I think about the Christmas story. Luke chapter number 2. And in the context of the scriptures in Luke chapter number 2, we have the birth of Jesus Christ in Luke chapter number 2. And Luke chapter number 2. And let me get my watch out here. Okay. Luke chapter number 2 and verse number 7. The Bible says, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Verse number 11, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. Verse number 14, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Verse number 20, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen. So in the context of the scripture here, we have the birth of Jesus Christ, baby Jesus. Verse 21 says, and when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification, according to the law of Moses, were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem and to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that openeth the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. And behold, so stop, look, and listen, the word behold. Behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. That's a great compliment, amen. The Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, to have him circumcised, then took he him up in his arms. Simeon took up Jesus in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. You know, we see through a glass darkly, but one day face to face, the songwriter said, with Christ my Savior, face to face, what will it be when with rapture I behold him, Jesus Christ, who died for me. Amen. One of these days, our faith is going to become sight. Amen. And we'll see Jesus. And it said, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people. How many people? All people, a light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of thy people Israel. Now I want you to look down at verse number 36. And these will be our text verses here, verse 36, 37, and 38. The Bible says here, and again, it's all in the context. Simeon sees Jesus, and we got baby Jesus. You know, they brought him in to have him circumcised after the custom of the Jews, as the custom of the Jews was. Verse 36, and there was one Anna, watch this now, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. Now, Anna's name means, you know how they have definitions for names? Anna's name means grace or favor. That's what her name means. Phanuel, his name means the face of God, the face of God. And so it says, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher, she was of a great age, okay, and had lived with an husband, watch this now, 7 years, had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow, watch this now, of about 84 years. A score is 20 years, so 84, that would be 84 years. So she'd been a widow for 84 years, okay? So that's a long time. She'd been married 7 years, her husband dies, and then now she's been a widow for 84 years. Now look what it says about Anna. It says, a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God, talking about Anna now, departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And she, Anna, coming in that instant, gave thanks likewise unto the Lord. So when she comes in and Anna sees the Lord, wow, she starts giving thanks to the Lord also. Are y'all with me in the context? She's giving thanks to the Lord. And then she spake of the Lord to all them that looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Wow. So after Anna saw the Lord with her very own eyes, she began to look for those that were looking for Jesus, amen, in Jerusalem, okay? And I'll tell you, you know what we need at Calvary Baptist Church? We need a fresh glimpse of Jesus. And you know, if we could have a fresh glimpse of the Lord, you know, we'd go out of here different tonight, and we'd go out and we'd be looking for somebody that's looking for Jesus. You know, it's really sad because all over Gillette tonight, there are probably people who are looking for the, you know, in all the wrong places. You know, maybe they're looking in a pill or a bottle or a needle or something like that. And we all know that's not where you're going to find satisfaction. You know, you're going to find satisfaction in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, when you accept Him as your Savior, He gives you that peace that passeth all understanding. So the title of the message tonight is an unusual title, and I'll explain what it's all about. But the title of the message tonight is called Tear Up the Script. Tear Up the Script. So your script would be kind of how you thought your life was going to play out, okay? Tear up the script, how you thought your life was going to play out, okay? So the idea is, I have a piece of paper here, and it says here that it says Anna's script, okay? And then I have another piece of paper here that says God's script, okay? Now, I want to say some very nice things about Anna, because Anna was a good lady. And ladies, if you study ladies in the Bible, you'll find out that ladies in the Bible are either really good ladies or they're really bad ladies, okay? I want to show y'all my milking muscle. I was going to be a dairy farmer, and so there's my milking muscle, okay? I got a milking muscle here from milking cows when I was in high school, okay? And so I would say, with my barnyard analogies and growing up around cows and hogs and chickens and so forth, that ladies in the Bible are really good ladies, or they're wicked heifers. And that's a derogatory term. They're wicked heifers, okay? And so you study ladies in the Bible. They're really good ladies, and thank God for really good ladies. And then there's really wicked ladies, okay? Really bad, bad ladies, okay? All right, so Luke chapter number 2 here, Anna was a really good lady, okay? Anna, listen to me, ladies. Anna was totally committed to God, okay? I mean, she was totally committed to God, okay? Anna was a prayer warrior. Anna was a prayer warrior. Dr. John R. Rice, the great old-time evangelist, used to say, all our failures are prayer failures. All our failures are prayer failures. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. The Bible says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Okay? So Anna was a prayer warrior. Anna was always ready to testify of the saving blood of Jesus Christ. She was looking for those that were looking for redemption. She wasn't ashamed. She wasn't an undercover agent or a secret disciple. She wasn't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Anna was ready to serve God. She was ready to serve the Lord. Isn't that a blessing? She had that spirit just to want to serve and be a blessing to others. Anna attended, listen to me now, Anna attended to the Lord without distraction. Anna attended to the Lord without distraction. Now, ladies, listen to me. And I'm not, I mean, I'm married to, my mother was a lady. I'm not after you ladies. We love ladies, amen. But I'm just telling you, Anna attended to the Lord without distraction. So when Anna's husband died after only 7 years of marriage, it appears to me that Anna took the love, Pastor, that she had this way, and she directed it this way. Are you with me? She took the love that she had for her husband and she directed it Godward, okay? And so what I'm saying is, the title of the message is Tear Up the Script. So I have a little piece of paper here and it says Anna's Script. So I don't think it was in Anna's script that her husband would die after only 7 years of marriage. Okay, my wife and I, we got married, and the doors of the Southridge Baptist Temple in Mansfield, Texas flew open, and wow, here she came down the aisle, and wow, she was beautiful, and we were young, and all of that, and she didn't say to me on our honeymoon, honey, you're probably only going to live like 7 years. Then, you know, I don't think Anna knew when she got married. Are you with me? The Bible doesn't speak to it, but I don't think she knew that her husband was going to die 7 years later. Are y'all with me? Okay, so I'm going to say it wasn't in Anna's script that her husband would die after only 7 years of marriage. So Anna had to get her script out. Did God allow her husband to die after only 7 years of marriage? Yes, He did. God's omniscient, amen. Did God know? Yes, He knew. So I have another piece of paper and it says God's script. So, you know, sometimes God's script and our script are two different things. Are y'all with me? And that's where the title of the message comes in, is that, you know, Anna tore up her script. And here's what I want to say about Anna. Anna could have, she was a good lady and a godly lady, but Anna could have said, God, why my husband? I'm a good lady. Why not some old wicked heifer, you know, out in the world? Why not her husband? Anna didn't do that. No, Anna, listen to me. Anna served God night and day with fastings and prayers, and she departed not from the temple. If something was going on down at the church house, guess who was there? Anna was. Are you listening to me? And when she saw Jesus, oh man, she couldn't help but started looking for people that were looking for Jesus. So instead of allowing her circumstances to make her bitter, she allowed her circumstances to make her better. So what are you thinking, preacher? I'm thinking, wow, God bless Anna. Anna got it right. I'm proud of Anna. She got her name in the Bible. Amen. She's a good one. Yeah. Praise the Lord for Anna. Wow. It's good, isn't it? You know, there's a lot of people in the Bible. There's a lot of different people in the Bible. I have, and again, this would be the only thing to make the sermon go longer, to preach a series, but I have a piece of paper here that says Joseph's script. You know, when Joseph, his father, had made that coat of many colors, you remember that in Genesis 37, and man, his father sent him to go check on his older brothers, and they saw him coming, that coat of many colors, and he was the son of his old age, the son of promise, and man, they hated him. His own brothers hated him and envied him and all that stuff. Well, I'm going to tell you something. Well, I believe when Joseph left the house, it wasn't in his script that his brothers would catch him and put him in that pit. Are you listening to me? I don't think he knew that was going to happen, but it happened, didn't he? And then they brought him up out of the pit and sold him to those Midianite merchant men, those Ishmaelites, and then they took him down to Potiphar, and Potiphar bought him, you know, and he's in Potiphar's house, and then Potiphar's wife, she was a wicked heifer. Woo, wow, she was a wicked heifer, wasn't she? I think she really kind of poured it on. The Bible says she pressed him day by day. I think she had a lot of makeup on. I think she kind of dolled up, you know, and I think she had so much of that stuff on her eyes that her eyelashes or whatever were sticking together. I think she's laying on, hey, Josie, baby. You know, hey, Josie, baby, lie with me, you know. And Joseph's like, man, he got out of Dodge, amen. He left his coat there, but he kept his character, amen. And she framed him. She lied through his teeth, and her husband believed her, you know, rightfully so and all that. But Joseph went to prison for something he didn't do. I don't think it was in his script that, you know, well, I'm probably going to go to prison. No, he didn't know he was going to prison. But guess who did know? Guess who did know that Joseph was going to prison? God did. Did God allow Joseph, to be sold? To be thrown in the pit. Did God allow that? Did God allow him to be thrown in prison? God allowed all that, didn't he? But I like that little statement that says, and the Lord was with Joseph. In Genesis 39, and the Lord was with Joseph. And you know what? You read the rest of the story, and wow, he interprets a dream and all that. Next thing you know, he interprets a dream for the king, and he becomes governor of the land. And Joseph had the keys to the corn crib. Amen. That famine broke out, and then they had to go through Joseph. Why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. But it wasn't in Joseph's script, all the things that he went through. Are you with me? So he had to tear his script up and accept it as a part of God's will for his life. I have another piece of paper here, and it says my script. So I had my script all planned out, okay? So I was going to be a dairy farmer. And my brother Bob is 5 years older than me. When I was 14 years old, Brother Bob bought me a heifer. And she was kind of crossbred, but her name was Jenny. We named her, you know, you got one head, you know, so you name your pet cow, you know. So Jenny, and so Jenny, we got her bred, and Jenny had a little heifer calf. And anyway, I started raising cows. I kind of got in the cattle business, you know, and I'm 14 years old, so I'm just a kid. And, you know, my daddy's a pastor, and I've got chickens, and I'm selling fresh eggs to church members. I started milking nurse cows. I'm selling fresh milk to church members. And, you know, I got refrigerators full of milk and eggs, and people come by every week, and they're buying me all this stuff from the preacher's kids, from a PK. So I'm a PK. Well, anyway, a preacher's kid. Well, anyway, so I always said this, my daddy's the preacher, and my brother's the preacher. Somebody's got to make a living. And I'd say that jokingly, you know. Well, we had an old-timey, heaven-sent Holy Ghost revival, and I grew up, you know, and I had all these Holstein heifers, you know, and we had an old church bus, and we lived next door to the church property, and the church had 7 acres, and we had 3.5 acres. Well, we had no church bus on the back of our property, and the motor was shelled, and so the church bus was gone, and so I'm 14 years old, 15 years old. I asked my dad, I said, Dad, can I have that old church bus? And he's like, what do you want with that old church bus? You know, I said, I want to raise baby calves in that church bus. And so he said, okay. And so I took all the seats out and I sectioned it off with bales of hay. And I started raising little Holstein heifers, little black and white Holstein heifers, little milk dairy heifers in that church bus. You know, they're baby calves, and I'd have racks of bottles. I call that church bus my cafeteria. Amen. My cafeteria. And so anyway, man, they'd be crying too whenever I'd come. They wanted the milk and all that. And I'd just get them started in that church bus. And then I'd move them on, and I had heifers everywhere. Well, 2 became 4, and 4 became 8. I'd raise them up, sell them, and buy a whole bunch more little ones. Well, anyway, 16 became you know, 32 became 64. Next thing you know, I got 92 Holstein heifers, and I'm fixing to start milking cows. I'm going to be a dairy farmer. Okay? Well, we had an old-timey heaven-sent revival, and Dr. Joe Boyd, an old-timey evangelist, he was like 6'5", and a great man of God, great preacher. And he preached, he came over to my church, to my house. My wife knows how to cut up a chicken, a whole chicken. She's a country girl, grew up riding horses and all that. And she knows how to cut up a chicken. I didn't marry a microwave mama. Amen. I married a country girl. And for a while, I was the fastest growing pastor in Arkansas. Amen. And that wasn't a good thing. I mean, she's feeding me good and I was growing. Amen. But anyway, so Dr. Boyd came down to my house. We lived at 209 Sycamore in Mansfield, Texas. And just a little small frame house. It was our first house, 1,080 square feet, and just a little modest frame house. And so he's asked me all kinds of questions, and I've gone by my initials my whole life, J.D. I was named after both my grandfathers. And so he said, "Now, what's your name?" And I said, "J.D. And he said, what's your given name? What's your initials stand for?" And I said, "Joe Dalton." And I was named after both of my grandfathers. One's name's Joe, one's named Dalton. So we just split it down the middle. I've gone by my initials, J.D., my whole life. Well, I don't know. He's old. He's in his 80s, white-headed, 6'5", big old preacher man and man of God, great preacher. And so I guess he didn't hear me. He's hard of hearing, whatever, you know. So he started calling me David. And I didn't say my name was Joe David. I said my name was Joe Dalton. Well, he's older, and I didn't want to correct him. So he's calling me David, you know, and I'm just rolling with it, okay? And he asked me this question, you know. And he said, "David?" And I said, "Yes, sir." And he said, "What are you going to do with your life?" And I said, "Dr. Boyd, let me show you." I said, I got my old milking muscle, and I said, I'm gonna milk cows and get my family out in the country and get them away from all these drugs and everything. We're gonna raise them out on the Ponderosa." And anyway, he said, "Okay." And you know, he's listening to me, my little spiel. But he left and went on down the road, and then somebody else started talking to me, and that was the Lord. And he knew my name. He didn't call me David, he called me J.D. And he said, "J.D., why don't you go beyond what you want to do and what you want to be? And why don't you do something for me, something that would last forever?" Well, then I had to decide, am I going to do what I want to do, or am I going to do what God wants me to do? Because my script and God's script were two different things. I'd gone to school and learned how to artificially inseminate cows and how to palpate cows, how to pregnancy check cows. I mean, I was consumed with being a dairy farmer. It's what I wanted to do with my life. But God had a different will for my life and a different plan for my life. So the next scene was I had to get my script out and I had to tear it up. And I just had to say, you know, "Lord, I love you more than all the cows in Texas. And if you want me to do something for you, I'm willing to do whatever you want me to do, Lord." And the next scene was my wife and I, Deanna and I, we went to the Johnson County Dairy Sale in Cleburne, Texas, and I sold my 92 Holstein heifers. And I just said, "Lord, I'll go where you want me to go, and I'll be what you want me to be." Only one life, 'twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Wow. There's been so many things that have happened in my life that were not in my script. My wife, you ladies would know about this, but my wife had fibroid cysts, and she would do like self-examinations, and she would have to time go to the doctor and get fluid drained off those cysts on her breast, and she would have to get the fluid drained off. And one day she told me, she said, "I've got a cyst that's harder to the touch." And so we went to the doctor. She had it biopsied and came back that it was cancer. You know, we met in our Christian school when we were kids and kind of childhood sweethearts and all of that. Her grandpa was a preacher. My daddy was a preacher. We didn't know that my wife would have breast cancer. Are you listening to me? We had to get our script out again. We had to tear it up. Did God know? He did. Did He allow it? He did. He's God. Well, We were at my oldest grandson's 10th birthday. So I think he's 24 now. And he killed a bear yesterday in Colorado, a big old bear. So him and my other grandson, they're bear hunting over there. So pray for them. But my grandson Dylan, I'm at his 10th birthday party, and I'm real tender-hearted. My wife's not hard-hearted, ladies, but she's not as tender-hearted as I am, if you know what I mean, okay? So I'm sitting there on the couch or whatever, sitting there, and she walks up to me, and I'm just sitting there, and tears are running down her cheeks at a birthday party for my grandson's 10th birthday party, my oldest grandson's 10th birthday party. And I just look at her, and I'm like, what's the matter? And she had just found out that she had breast cancer. And she said, she's processing having the cancer. And she says, what if this is the last birthday party that I get to come to? That's what she said. What if this is the last birthday party that I get to come to? And she would say, I just want the cancer out of my body. That's what she would say. I just want the cancer out of my body. But it wasn't in our script that my wife would have breast cancer. Now, we did find out what her cancer was feeding on, estrogen and progesterone. We stopped her body from producing that. And so for 14 years, that cancer has been in remission or lying dormant because it don't have anything to feed on. And I've still got my wife. And I say to God, be glory. Thank you, Lord. You gave her to me, and thank you for letting me keep her. It's good, isn't it? Hey, during COVID, my oldest daughter, Janine, she's the one with the 24-year-old. Well, she found out she's pregnant. Oh, my word. I mean, surprise, surprise, as Gomer Pyle would say. Surprise, surprise. Well, anyway, she went the full term. And Avonlea Ray, my little great-granddaughter, didn't make it. She just lived just a short time. And she went home to be with Jesus. Oh, wow. That wasn't in our script. We were all so excited about that new little baby girl that was coming. And my daughter was a basket case. You ladies know how that would be. She was just... And so my wife and I went to the cemetery preacher and had that little baby casket. And we didn't have a service or anything. Just went there and laid our little baby girl. We knew she was in heaven. Little babies that die in the Lord, they're safe. We know that. But we just kind of had that little service and prayed. And she's in heaven, and we'll see her one day. But it wasn't in our script. Are you all listening to me? It wasn't in my script that I would find out that I had prostate cancer. Prostate cancer. I was young, strong, healthy. But I had prostate cancer. I went to Delray Beach, Florida, and they did laser surgery on me and all that stuff. That wasn't in my script. Are you listening to me? That I have... I'm just telling you that stuff happens, doesn't it, that wasn't in our script, and y'all all got stories. We could have tag team preaching. You could come give testimony about some things that have happened in your life that you had no idea that it was going to happen, but the Lord allowed it to happen. Are you with me? My Father's way may twist and turn. My heart may throb and ache, but in my soul, I'm glad I know. He maketh no mistakes. God don't make any mistakes. But what happens if there's a problem? If there's a problem, it's not on His end. If there's a problem, it's on our end. Because we misinterpret sometimes what God allowed to happen. Are you with me? So I'm very proud of Anna because she didn't get bitter. She let her circumstances get better. When my mama died, the mama who changed my diapers and loved me in spite of all my little issues and things, when she died at the age of 56 of a heart attack, 1 week she was here and the next week she was gone. And me and my dad, my brother, were going to do her service. And me and my dad was in the Fort Worth area, so we knew a lot of preachers, and our church wasn't big enough to hold all the preachers. And the funeral home wasn't either, big funeral home, and the preachers were lined up down the walls. And I went in the bathroom at the funeral home. I wanted to say some things about my mom, but I was just falling to pieces, if you know what I mean. I'm tenderhearted, and I just Of all the places for the Lord to show up, I'm in the bathroom, and it's like the Lord came into the bathroom with me. And He just kind of let me know that it's going to be all right. He's the God of all comfort. The Bible says it like this: Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. Oh, listen, even though I was brokenhearted, I knew my mama was in heaven. I knew she was doing better. And now, all these years, I've taken that comfort that God comforted my heart with, and I've used it to comfort other people's hearts when they lose their mama. Isn't that good? I mean, God knew all about all that. He allowed my mama to go home a little early so I could be used by God, because I gave it back to God. You see what I'm saying? I gave it back to God. And instead of allowing it to make me bitter, I allowed it to make me better. And because I gave it back to Him, He's allowed me to use it. My cancer, my wife's cancer, He's allowed us to use it to help other people who are going through difficult situations. But you know, as I travel, listen to me, I travel a lot. Y'all pray for me. I travel a lot for a pastor. I mean, I got a church and people that love me and all that stuff. But I travel a lot. But you know, as I travel around, preacher, I found that there's a lot of good people in churches like Calvary Baptist Church. And I know y'all don't know me, and some of you are looking at me like a calf looks at a new gate, like, where did preacher find this guy? You know, and it's okay. But a lot of people in churches just like Calvary Baptist Church are sitting here on the pew with bitterness in their heart because of something that's happened in their life, and they misinterpreted what God allowed to happen. And bitterness is like a cancer. Bitterness is like a cancer. It'll eat you up from the inside out, and you don't even realize how bitterness, it affects your personality. You know, you're lashing out at people that don't even have anything to do because of the hurt, because of the pain. Listen, hey, tonight, everybody look at me, I'm almost done. Tonight, we need to forgive. Accept what you can't change about yourself, about others, about your circumstances. And that's the A, a little A-C-T. A is accept what you can't change. The C is change bitterness to forgiveness. Change bitterness to forgiveness. It's a choice. You can live with the pain of what you've been through and the hurt you've been through the rest of your life in bitterness, or you can live with it in forgiveness. And so you have no idea what I've been through. And you, the person that wronged me, they are totally wrong. Well, I understand that, but I'm going to tell you something. This is what God says. God says, vengeance is mine. God says, I will repay. I'm glad God's got my back. Hey, I ain't worried about it. You know, God's got my back. I don't have to get mad or be ugly with anybody because vengeance belongs to God. How many of y'all have ever heard that little saying, two wrongs don't make a right? And we can be just as wrong as the person who did the wrong when we lock down on it with an unforgiving spirit and let bitterness get into our heart and they go on down the way, you know, when we just need to forgive. Because when, look at me, when we forgive, we get release. Are you with me? When we forgive, we get release. That does not mean the offender is off the hook, because God is going to take care of that mess. Are y'all with me on that? But man, I just want to be clean and right. So he says, why would you come out of the gate at a missions conference preaching on this? Because I've learned this as I've traveled. If you got a bunch of people sitting here with what we'll call baggage, hurts, you know, it's hard sometimes to get people that got a lot of baggage to make spiritual decisions. Why? Because they need revival in their own heart. They need to forgive and let things go. And then it's kind of like a cork. You'll pop back up and say, oh, yeah, I'm feeling better. I'm feeling mighty fine. I don't know if y'all got possums around here, but I drive around my town grinning like a possum. I'm enjoying the ride of serving Jesus. Amen. I just grin and make them wonder what I've been up to. Amen. I love serving Jesus. I tell people all the time, about half the people I preach to look like they're constipated. I'm telling you, man, God's people just got that old scowl on their face, like, bless me if you can. When are we getting out of here? You know, I'm thinking, really? Let the joy of Jesus put a smile upon your face. But man, when your heart's clean, you got clean hands, and you got a clean heart, you're not lifting your soul up to vanity, man. You want to serve Jesus, man. Hey, it's a blessing when you can look everybody in the church in the eye and, man, you ain't got no junk in your heart toward anybody. Boy, that's a blessing. You can lay your head down at night and get a good night's sleep. But, man, when you got a bunch of bitterness and anger and wrath and clamor and evil speaking, in your, man, that needs to go, y'all. So really tonight's more like revival, and we're starting the missions conference tomorrow night. Y'all with me? But I think tonight, Calvary Baptist Church would be good just to get down on the old-fashioned altar and say, wow, Lord, there's been some things that have happened in my life that I didn't understand, and I might not have processed it right. But, Lord, I do love you, Lord, and I want you to forgive me and help me, because I want to love you like Anna loved you, amen. Serve God night and day, fastings and prayers, departed not from the temple. Wow, she started looking for those that were looking for Jesus. Let me have the piano player come, and we'll just let her play us a verse here. That'd be good. There she is, okay. However we do the invitation, I think it'd just be good, Calvary Baptist, just come on down to the altar tonight. What do you think? You pray in your seat, whatever you feel led to do. But I just think, wow, this is a game changer tonight. This message will help you if you let God help you. Let's stand together. You can pray in your seat, whatever you feel led to do. She's going to play something softly. And the title of the message is Tear Up the Script, Tear Up the Script. And by the way, pastors down here, if you need somebody to pray with you, ladies or whoever, man, get somebody. Grab somebody that you love and get them to pray with you tonight. Amen. Some of you may have a wayward child or something like that. Man, let's pray for them tonight. Let's pray for them. Amen. God can go get them. He can go get them where they're at. Amen. But tear up the script. Tear up the script.